Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. With the most, the king of king himself, the man that's still in a race, running for president, has not dropped out yet, and refused to drop out. I am the Hot Rod. And I have, the one and only. I really don't care about him, but...
Of course. Sean Black in the building once again. I got to go through this again another week.
Yes. And I have my running mate. She always be by my side. She always support me. She treats me like the big brother that I am to her because she's adored me. And what can I say? I'd be happy to be her mentor. She is Lady T, ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, hey, y'all.
The real president of the United States.
Exactly, right? That's what he's sounding like. And I'm thinking, running mate, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I'm trying to win these votes.
you see what you walked into, Lady T? You see what you walked into?
What? I mean, that's too far. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, 347-989-8402. That's the number to call. 205, I see you. I will get to you in a few minutes once I finish with the intros. Okay, let's get right into it. There's been a lot of problems around the world today. Well, yesterday in New York City, Lady T and I was having a blast on social media, having fun, because ladies and gentlemen around the world, New York City had issued a law. It sounds crazy, but it was really chaotic. Besides the coronavirus, they issued a law banning the use of plastic bags in supermarkets and stores. In other words, when you go shopping at the supermarket, either you use a reusable bag or you buy a bag for 5 cents. The city claims that this will help out the environment. This will be a waste, eliminate waste and all that other stuff. But as I told the guys on social media yesterday, went to a supermarket, I've never seen the line so crazy and so much confusion. It was like the world just came to an end. Between all the Lysol being soaked out on the shelves and Clorox wipes, you go to the lines and people are just confused. They don't know what to do. Why? There's no bags. And people have to buy bags. Either you buy the bags, and let's say you bring unusable, reusable bags, maybe not enough. So you end up buying more bags. So Sean Black, do you believe that New York City did this as trying to help the environment thing, or trying to gain extra revenue into the city?
Well, we all know that this government doesn't do anything to help other people out unless there's a way to make money off the top of it. We already know that, so let's get that out of the way. Second of all, the people that are going to obviously be the most impacted are people in rural and inner cities, low-income families, people. And it's going to also be something that we're going to have to get used to, because I'll give you an example. The Sundays, I usually do every Sunday, I go to get the newspaper for my mother and then bring back, get something from the store and then come back home. And what's weird, at the corner store, where most people, if they would get the newspaper or get something to eat from the corner store, they would usually get a plastic bag, and it was put in there. And you should see the people that were at the corner store that were actually trying to tell the owner of the store, they're going to give you a fine if you give us plastic bags. And I'm like, what? And I said, I completely forgot about that. Do you know how often all of us usually go into a corner store or something just to get a plastic bag? That's just, like, ingrained. That's going to be a huge change for a lot of people.
But it's funny how we talk about this like this is a life-changing style, but we're not used to at all.
You know what? You know why? The reason why that is, well, if you don't have, let's say you go shopping and you don't have a car, and you have to take the bus after you've just gone grocery shopping, how are you going to get that into your apartment or your housing complex or back home and worry about spending extra money to get extra bags that aren't plastic reusable bags. That's going to be something going forward that a lot of people are going to have to think about.
Okay, to Lady T. Now, also, I'm cracking up all the jokes you posted last night on Facebook. What is your thoughts about this overall? Is this something good or something that's not even worth it?
So we know this started already in certain states, already had started that since last year. They said they warned us since last year, blah, 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 blah. The actual fines don't come into effect until April 1st of 2020. So this is kind of like a test run is what it seems like to me at least. So they say it should eliminate waste for up to 50, you know, from by the next 50 years, this waste should be all eliminated to 500 years. I'm thinking, but what about us right now, though? When did y'all see this? I don't know if you guys remember when you was growing up, pollution was one of the things that was taught in school. So
yeah.
I think that they had a long enough time to have gotten this, you know, going since before. It's going to inconvenience a lot of people. I went food shopping yesterday, purposely forgot my bags just to see what was going to happen.
Oh, I can imagine. That has to have been fun.
Yeah, but it was very interesting. They didn't have paper bags like, let's say, some of the local stores do have. A guy that was in front of me, he had four items. He didn't know about the bag ban. So they were like, oh, I don't know what you're going to do. He has meat and stuff like that. So that supermarket isn't even following it with their reusable bags that they're supposed to give out for, like, frozen stuff and meats and stuff like that. They're not even following the ban on that. You know what I mean? As far as issuing him that for what he had. He just walked out with the four stuff, paid for it, and just walked out. So a lot of people are, like, annoyed and frustrated and so forth. The grocery that I go to actually said, oh, well, you're going to have to buy the bag. Then I said, where's your paper bags if that's the case? Oh, we don't have any, this, that, the other, but you could buy these bags three for $2. I'm looking like the grocery's also going to be making money off these bags. But at the same token, it's like even with their brown paper bags that they're enforcing, they're not really following the rules with that. Plus, they're running out even quicker, if you ask me, than the plastic bag. So I don't know. For me, I give this like 6 months, maybe. If it doesn't get chaotic, you might hear stupid stories like the Popeye chicken stories with the arguments and things like that. It's gonna be, you know, in my mind, at least.
Well,
the
person that I saw on the news that was getting interviewed by a news reporter, and he came out. He was one of the first people to come out with his bags of groceries and everything, and literally 30 seconds into the interview talking to the reporter, the bag ripped. So all his fruits and blueberries and food spilled all over the sidewalk while he was doing the interview. This is
and
what's going to be the
thing.
Issue.
Yeah.
Yes, because when I went to the supermarket to buy the thing about reusable bags, like something you have to get used to, like yesterday I went into a supermarket with my kids, and the first word that came in my mouth, gosh damn it, I left the bags in the car. But I already got stuff in the shopping cart. What I'm going to do? I bought the bags. But instead of, you know, having 10 multiple bags, I had two large, heavy-ass bags breaking my back. Because, you know, you're trying to save the money. You're trying to, quote, save the environment. And, you know, you're just trying to do the right thing. But it's coming back to bite you in the ass sooner or later. But talk about bite you in the ass now. We did talk about this a couple of times. But it seems like it's getting worse and worse. It's called the coronavirus. Earlier today, I sent my interns out to go buy some Purell wipes, some hand sanitizers over there, and some Lysol. She went to four different stores. Nothing. Sold out. Empty shelves. So my question to you guys is, I know we asked this before, and we'll get to the new caller in a few minutes. I know we talked about coronavirus before. Are we really need to step up our game? Is this serious? Or once again, this is media blowing it out of proportion? Because so far, four people died in Washington. There's one
six
confirmed
people.
Case.
Six
it's
people.
Six
they
people.
Updated it.
Well, updated. Six
and 80 cases
six,
in the U.S.
And 80 cases. One case in New York City, right?
Yes.
Confirmed.
So far, it might
so
be
far.
Two. So far, it might be two because they're expecting her spouse, who is flying with her, to also have it. He's being tested.
And it could be the Uber driver. Now they gotta track down. They're trying to retrack those steps.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the flight attendants. It could be the people on the plane. It could be people at the airport. Who knows? But well, Lady T, do you think Tamia's blowing this out of proportion, or what is your thoughts?
I don't think this is being blown out of proportion, and I don't think we're getting all the information told to us. For today, like, I watched the entire speech with the governor and mayor, and I don't like watching, like, the news chip it up. I like seeing the actual speech, you know what I mean? So they don't, like, take out the stuff that's highlighted. So one thing that he said that kind of bothered me was the description of this. He said some people say it's like the flu on steroids. That to me doesn't sound good, first of all.
The
you understand
flu on
what I'm
steroids?
Saying?
I'm sorry.
The flu on steroids was what was said. That, you know, I don't find this being a time for jokes. You understand what I'm saying? When he said that, I was like, did he say that? I had to like rewind it, check. Okay. He said the flu on steroids. He said that's what it sounds like to him. So I'm just thinking, okay, you have a female that you guys said wasn't contagious on the plane, 39-year-old female, and it was a flight from Iran to New York. She was with her spouse. She's being tested, but she wasn't, quote-unquote, contagious, you know, on the plane, but you guys are going to backtrack her steps. She didn't take public transportation. She took, I guess, an Uber or car service, whatever the case may be. So they want to backtrack it, he said, and, you know, find out from that person that drove them and so forth. So they go to Mount Sinai Hospital, whatever the case may be, and come to find out, you know, she tested positive. They're also testing the spouse, but they sent her home. I guess she was treated in the hospital and sent home. She's also a healthcare worker. So his thing is that, you know, both of them are actually healthcare workers. He feels like, you know, they knew about this. They know how to handle it on their own, I guess, because somebody, as far as a reporter in the audience, had even asked them, like, why is she not being treated at home? They said, well, it's a mild case, and she can, you know, take care of herself at home versus the hospital. I'm sorry, being treated at the hospital. So I don't understand if it's like a fear of the person being in the hospital now, or how do they quarantine you at home and so forth. So I feel like it's still certain things that they can't say, especially that our vice president is the person in charge of this, and any information to be released has to go through him, according to reports on Friday or whatever the case may be. But my question is, and I just heard all this, it's like, don't tell me to relax. You understand what I'm saying? I'm wondering, why are you guys so relaxed? So one thing that he said, it's like, that they want to do is 1,000 tests per week within 1 week, and they want like $4 million worth of funding for AIDS to help prevent the outbreak. They keep saying that it's a low, low number and such. It's similar to the flu, but it's really not similar to the flu because we have flu shots and things. I don't think we have a corona shot and stuff like that yet. So it makes people panic. It makes people nervous. You're running out of supplies already that people have in demand to prepare themselves. So how does that help us? They want to do, like, bleach for the senior citizens' home and, you know, be able to clean that and keep that clean because people who are of weakened immune systems or debilitating diseases or underlying illnesses, elderly and so forth, can be infected. But I'm thinking those people are always, you know, high risk for infections either way with anything. So, like, how does this – I don't know. I think people are nervous about this. This is not like a meme game anymore. It's really something that is really out there.
I want to call my attention.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to piggyback on what Lady T said, that how they say that this is a mild case. What is a mild case? Either you have it or you don't have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like once you have a cold, you have a cold. Either you're sick or you're not sick. It's either or. What's a mild case? But I think to go back to what you're saying, isn't it a government job not to cause panic, to calm people down? Like Sean Black said a while back when, I believe it was 9/11 or something that happened, Bloomberg said, go to the Broadway shows, go out.
That's
basically, go out and enjoy your life. The blizzard, yes. Go out and go enjoy yourself. I think that's their job, is not to cause panic, because what's going on right now? Like I said earlier, I went to my internet to go buy some products. The shelves are empty, you know. And it's like, okay, now people are washing their hands. Isn't this the stuff that they should be doing every time? Cleaning up after yourself, disinfecting your hands, the surface. What, now we're worrying about germs and spread? We ride the New York train system. You know, there's more chances catching germs and God knows what on the trains than the air itself. Well, go ahead, Shaw Black, then I will go to Phil.
It's probably an underlying. I'm sorry. This is a more serious virus, but okay.
Well, here's part of the problem. Well, a big chunk of this problem is the fact that we have an administration who has, for the better part of 3 years, cried wolf about every possible thing that could happen as far as lying to the media, to the public, about things that they're not supposed to be lying or should not be lying to the public about. Now that you have a personal health crisis, you're having issues with now information getting out. When the head goes out and basically says, well, everything is a hoax, everything is an issue, it's the media, it's the Democrats, it's whoever it is, and points blame on various things. When we're faced with a situation where everybody has to go to the president, as you said, Hot Rod, to look for the government, to look to your leaders to quell public angst, that look at what's going on and say, you know what, let me look to the leadership and, well, they'll keep us calm. They'll keep us safe. They'll inform us about certain things. And then the president went out, and I believe it was today, during a press conference when he was basically asked from, I think it was a bunch of media, as far as how this, how long it was going to take for a particular vaccine to be made. And he said, well, it's going to take a short amount of time, 4 months, maybe a year at the longest, and it's kept to a low, low standard, and he had to backtrack at that. In the middle of that particular conversation, the head doctor, who happens to be, his name is Anthony Fauci, who's the National Institute of Health, head of infectious diseases, interrupted the president in the middle of his preening and lying to tell him, there is no way that this is going to happen within 4 months. At the most, it'll be a year to a year and a half. These are the kinds of things that cause and add to the angst and to everything.
You see what you said, Sean Black, with an actual doctor being there. Actual doctor was also side by side by the governor, and when he made certain points as far as questions from reporters in the audience, he looked to him like no, don't say that, or don't say anymore. At one point, they ended up wrapping it up because those questions from the reporters were the same concern that anybody walking the streets would have, and they're not allowed to answer those questions yet.
Exactly, and that's the problem with having Mike Pence, the vice president.
Right, the vice president, there you go.
The vice president being the head of, I guess you want to call him a czar, and looking over all of the different information about the coronavirus and all of the things that are happening, because the problem then goes where all of the information that is being brought, it's Pence's job, supposedly, to inform everybody about what's happening. But what we're seeing more and more
and
of...
To inform and also let us know how much you need to know.
And what we're
that
seeing
too.
More and more
this
of...
Is scary.
We're starting to see Pence basically trying to tell everybody, he's trying to appease the president and make sure that the information that gets out, even if it's the truth, doesn't change and cross over into the political side of it. And we've had so many different things happening, even Donald Trump Jr. basically going on national television and saying that the Democrats want millions of people to die so that Donald Trump can lose as far as this being a negative against his campaign. These are the kinds of things that add to all of the problems that are going on with misinformation and everything else, because one side is seemingly trying to find out what's going on, and another side is trying to politicize it, and it's happening on both sides, and it's ridiculous. This doesn't
okay,
need
I'm
to
sorry.
Happen.
Sorry, Sean, I have to give it to Phil now. Phil has a cure. He has a vaccine for this coronavirus, so go ahead, Phil, give it away. What's the cure?
My cure is good hygiene. Wash your hands. Try to stay away from anybody that is sick. And here's the thing
not
that
gonna
I
not going to work, Phil. That's the same thing the young lady did. Not going to work, but okay.
Well, here's the other thing that a lot of people are panicking with. Everybody's trying to go out and buy masks. And today the Surgeon General came out and is begging people not to buy masks. And the thing is, the mask ain't going to do anything. If you're going to get it, you're going to get it. The mask should be for the people that are contagious.
Exactly.
This came out today. I was reading it via the local news sites on here, and the Surgeon General said, they're asking people to buy masks because everybody's buying up the masks, and then the healthcare professionals, they can't get any. Where I work, I work for Walmart. This gets better. The supplier is out of masks, so they can't get any masks into the store.
Isn't that good for business? That people are running out of masks?
Yeah, and the thing is, everybody is panicking, and it's
because
like
of all
the guy said.
Yeah,
and the mask ain't going to do anything for you.
It's not going to do anything, Phil, but it could help out to a certain degree because, once again, when their hands are dirty, they're not allowed to, it will prevent you a little bit of touching the face a little bit, right? Give or take, when you're wearing the mask.
Well, give or take, but I think the thing is that what the Surgeon General is saying, the mask isn't going to help you. It's not going to help. And if you're going to get think of a stomach virus. Stomach virus is going to come see your body. It ain't going to care that you're wearing a mask on. It's going to find its way inside you.
And you also have to remember, when you're dealing with a mask, and this is something that doctors have been talking about for the last couple of days, if you're wearing a mask, not only the mask is there for the person that is already sick. Once the mask is wet with the sputum or the moisture from the person wearing
right.
it, that mask is useless. You're going to have to dispose of that mask anyway. That's
you guys do know
anybody,
that mask only lasts up until an hour.
Exactly, and that's one of the
tell
things
that's
that,
why they were made for that. Yeah.
Yes, and that's
tell that to my idiot customers that think it's going to protect them.
Well, the reason why they're believing a lot of this stuff is because of the information that's going out there, because of what has happened through the media, as far as who we're getting the information from, and instead of getting the information from doctors, scientists, people that actually know what they're doing, we're getting the information from politicians who seemingly have some kind of vested interest in controlling the information coming out. What information comes out, when it comes out, and who's supposed to be prioritizing that particular information. And that's the reason why Pence is in charge of it, because if that information jives against anything that comes from the president, he's there like the attack dog to kind of siphon the information away so that it's in line and you don't get the quote-unquote
mm-hmm.
truth spilling out all over the media. And that's the problem with this whole setup. We have all
mm-hmm.
the information. We're not getting all of the pertinent information that we need. We should be vigilant.
Okay, to Sean, back to your point, are we entitled to receive that information?
Of course you're entitled to it.
Why?
There are almost 300 million people in this country. And if there is a contagion that is coming through from other channels from wherever it is in the world, if you are a citizen in this country and you're trying to make sure, let's say you're taking care of elderly people or you have some sort of underlying respiratory incident or some kind of issue with health, you have to figure out if the information that you're getting is pertinent to you so that you know what to do and how to prevent you can prevent getting sick or at least kind of lessen the chances of it happening. Because from what everything is being said, eventually it's going to get bigger. You're going to hear more cases in more states. I think we have 12 states right now?
Yeah, it was infected 80 people overall in those states. And most
it's going to get bigger. We know this.
Hold on. Before I go to K, the Lady T, if going by Sean's point, if they tell you the truth, would that cause more panic or more calm with the public, you think?
No. You want to know why? When was it in 68 when they had an outbreak? They let us know everything that was going on. When they had the swine flu, they let us know what to do, how to prevent it. Do you guys think that it's because of an upcoming election that we're not knowing what we need to know right now? What do you guys think?
I'm bothered by a lot of it. But to your statement, Lady T, we have the West Nile virus, Ebola, Zika, whatever that was back then.
The Zika virus.
And you know what's wrong with that?
Yes, go ahead.
Hot Rod?
Yes,
all those viruses that you call was like 0.6, 0.1% mortality rate, where this is like 1.4 mortality rate so far. Worldwide, so far, that we know of.
But to Phil's point of view, basically, there's not much we could do about it. We just have to be more careful and disinfect ourselves.
Physical health care workers here. One tested positive, the woman tested positive already. They were more than careful. The governor even stated they took proper precautions, especially when she checked herself in, not taking transportation, only going by car service where, God forbid, you could infect that person possibly. We don't know how this works yet. That's the point.
So,
you don't know how it works.
So, overall, guys, I'm sick. I'm going to the hospital.
I'm nervous. I was sick when I listened to all of this. I was starting to cough and starting to watch my cough like, okay, like, come on.
Look, I'm sorry, Kato. There's one more point I want to bring out. This morning on the bus when I was with my son, you know, kids will always be kids. This kid sneezed on my son. So I pulled my son back away from him. And the mother looked at me with an attitude. I'm like, I don't know what your son has. He sneezed on my son. John travels all the time. And with everything that everybody being scared, you don't want to take any chances. I'm more concerned about the elderly and the kids. The last thing we need right now is an outbreak of viruses in the school.
Oh, your governor secured it today. He said so far kids are not a threat to it. I'm just like, you know what? I can't.
They're telling us not to scare you off overall.
Meanwhile, other news reports that like China closed their schools and so forth, so kids aren't going to school or something like that last week. I'm confused. It's confusing.
Speaking of what you just said about
Sean, hold on, Sean. I have to give the K-Dog first. Sean, I have to give the K-Dog first, then I'll get back to you. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Good evening, everyone. With all of this going on, I mean, it is a panic. It's a great panic because even going to work on the trains, you'll see people with masks. People are wearing masks. Even tonight when I went to go visit my dad at nursing home, you know, some people are still there with masks. And Phil, thanks for bringing that up, because when I saw that today when the Surgeon General said about the masks, saying it's not going to protect you, you know, the government, from what I'm seeing, it's like they're trying to politicize this, and that's sad. You know, is this a sick way to try to win an election? I mean, come on now. This is an epidemic that's going on.
They're using this towards their advantage in the polls, in the election. That's what you're saying right now?
Yeah, it's like because watching, I'm like, why is it that, you know, you're politicizing this event? This is a serious case. This is serious. It's nothing to, you know, try to tell the people. And I like what Lady T had to say about it. You know, just let the people, doctors, you know, have them talk to the people instead of, you know, these politicians, because it's like you're politicizing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sean Black.
As I was saying before, we talk about this shows you how this has gotten. We talked about Italy and Iran and China, Wuhan, China, which is pretty much the epicenter. They actually looked on a map of China over the last 3 days, and the pollution in China has actually dropped, I think they said, because no one is out in the streets. Everybody is home. And this is the kind of impact that we're hearing. Italy, and in certain parts of South America, all of these places and all of these countries where we're starting to hear things from, as we talked about politicizing things and politicizing all the other stuff, there was a person who was in San Antonio, The CDC had this woman who, I believe, tested positive for coronavirus. And for whatever reason, they let her out. And now they're trying to figure out who on earth would let somebody out that tested positive for coronavirus. And now San Antonio, and I believe the mayor of San Antonio, is suing the CDC over this. This was just on the news just a little while ago. So these are the small things, the small little things that we're hearing about, where we need to get real pertinent information and finding out what the long-term effects are. If you remember last week, the stock market dropped like 5,000 points. Now, they had a big rally today. They
for like three or four days,
they dropped about 4,000. It lost 10% of its value in less than a week. But it did bounce back today because I guess the markets are feeling a little more safe on what they feel will be a recovery.
Well, they might have bounced back because of the masks, people buying more masks. Whatever.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of uncertainty that was going on, and nobody knew what was going on because of the misinformation and all of the stories from all over the world. But now what we're seeing is that there is a deeper effect that is happening, and we have to realize that this may become a new normal where everybody's going to be like Howie Mandel and giving each other fist pounds instead of hugs and kisses and handshakes because we don't know what's going on.
Sean, I'm glad you said that because even the sports world, the NBA came out and said that the players should have less interactions with the fans, do fist bumps instead of high fives. And I believe also the NHL is trying to do a contingency plan about this with this virus that supposedly they're thinking it might spread throughout North America. So they're just developing a contingency plan.
Exactly.
They're
Just think about that. Think of all of the things that we take for granted in the public.
Oh, yeah.
That may actually be.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, baseball season starts soon, where you have open stadiums of people going out. You don't know if people are traveling back and forth. Like you said, the NHL. Not to bring up wrestling, but WrestleMania is supposed to be in another month. Who knows what can happen in an open area in Tampa Bay where a lot of people from other countries are going to be coming in and seeing an event.
Hi, guys. How about
we don't
open areas? You're just walking to the corner store and you don't know who just came from where.
Wow.
So it's always that purpose. Let's stop.
All of this going on. Mind if I add something? This is also going to affect traveling, especially cruise ships.
Because
a lot of people are going to be.
But cruise ships could be cheaper right now if people are afraid. So maybe now is the time to travel with people are afraid.
I'm good.
Okay. But one person who doesn't care about the coronavirus, that she will travel no matter what, because she always likes to race out. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Big Red. Big Red, what do you like to add on to the coronavirus?
Hello, what's up, Big Red?
Hello, what's up, y'all? What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, Red.
Crazy time.
Hi, who's coughing? Who's that coughing?
Uh-oh. Don't be coughing.
Hey, don't be coughing up in here.
Good. Oh, my God.
Okay, you can't get it through the phone.
You never know.
You never know. Listen, let me tell you something. I took time out of my slow jam night to call and, you know, I got to get, you know, this, you know, out because you know what? Listen, I watched The Walking Dead for a reason. And see, with all this coronavirus going on, I'm going to tell you like this. That's how I started. I'm going to be like Rick sitting in the hospital. Next thing you know, I'm going to get up. Everybody's going to be gone. I'm going to be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
No, but
are you concerned about this coronavirus or you think it's blown out of proportion as for now? By the media. Big Red,
did we lose her?
Hopefully she'll call back. There's some issue.
No, she just dropped her phone. She's like, she can't take it no more. I guess I'll scare her.
Oh, Lord.
Oh well.
Would you believe I saw something on, I remember who put it up there, that The Simpsons actually predicted this.
But,
in 1993.
There's going to be a whole lot of things.
I did my research on that. That was fake. Most of that was Photoshop. They did do an episode about a virus, but not the coronavirus overall. No. But
They've been doing pretty good about every other thing that's been predicted, you know. So, hey,
with 20 minutes left, let's go on to our next topic now. Sean, quickly, something happened in Florida with that 60-year-old girl got arrested. Can you talk about that quickly, please?
Sure. Back in September of last year, there was a case of a girl named Kaya Roll, who apparently suffered from sleep apnea, was in school in Orlando, Florida, and actually had a temper tantrum, probably from the lack of sleep, behavioral issues, whatever was the case. And I believe she either kicked a teacher or kicked somebody while she was in the class. And for whatever reason, somebody thought, oh, you know what? The perfect way to deal with this is to call the police and have this 6-year-old girl arrested. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So we arrest a 6-year-old, take her in handcuffs, put her in the back of a squad car.
Hold on, Sean Black. Not in handcuffs. She was tied in. Not handcuffs.
Oh, excuse me. Well,
those
big
difference.
Similar to her hands were restrained.
It's the same.
And
it's
put in the back seat of a police car.
Better terms. Better terms, yes.
And now we have to worry about now this being a thing. And this is not the first kid in that school that day that got arrested. It was an 8-year-old that was arrested as well. So what are we accomplishing? What are we doing here? When we're starting to hear about police officers now not knowing what to do with young children and arresting them, you now have something where a child is probably going to be scarred for life in its interactions with a police or any kind of authority figure, being afraid to come to a police officer if something happens to her down the stretch, down the road, whatever is the case. Who knows what kind of irreparable damage is done? It's ridiculous.
Okay. Lady T?
They finally released that video for everybody to see on February 24th, and right now the Florida lawmakers did a bill to prevent, I think it's age 13 or 12. You can't be arrested and handcuffed and so forth, you know, juvenile cases, because that was pretty much not within the law. I mean, you're taking certain measures, but it's still not enough, because a child like that has diagnosed with sleep apnea, they will put them in special ed in smaller groups, so there's more than enough teachers that can handle those type of outbursts, you understand? So I'm not sure what they do in Florida, because, you know, every state to state and the further south you go is different laws. So these are things that should be of concern.
And there should also be a modicum of common sense involved with this stuff also. I mean, let's really call it what it is. It doesn't make
any
sense.
I'm sorry, Sean Black. Is it really common sense? Oh, that's a protocol of how they handle things, like Lady T said. There's a difference between protocol and common sense. And this is Florida, which is very lack of common sense. Let's be honest. But they're doing a lot of crazy things in that.
Very, very lack of common sense.
Southern slavery, but whatever. Anyway.
You know, I don't know what the cops were thinking when they did that. And there's a right way and a wrong way to handle a 6-year-old. Arresting them in handcuffs is not the way to go. Now, if it was a 16, 17, 18-year-old, okay, you know what? That's fine, because when you're 16, 17, you know what the hell you're doing. But a 6-year-old, it's one thing, okay, we're going to take the kid, we'll put him in the squad car, we'll talk to the parents, and we want to try to scare the kid. Scare him, you know, talk to them, whatever, and then just let them go.
But that's not their law for Florida.
That's not the way they do things, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose why they now put in a new rule because of this, and so many young kids of that age, 6, 8, 7, whatever the case may be. I don't know. They also, to me, need to look into the school system with that as well. Their school system obviously is totally different than New York State or New York City.
Right,
so.
Absolutely.
Well, then and also, Florida, we have to look at the fact that, as we've heard and we've seen this before, and we touch on this many, many times, look at the skin color of this child and the area from where they were living in or where they were at. You see, stories like this seem to happen much more
constantly
to children and
people
of color and minorities. And we've gone over this ad nauseum until we're blue in the face. I've yet to see any kind of craziness happen to, let's say, a Caucasian child or anybody of that nature go through something like this. Not saying that it probably hasn't happened, but it hasn't been put on the news and it hasn't been brought.
Yeah, but they don't put it on the news.
So I wonder that.
They never do.
They never do.
Okay.
They're always going to put it out, you know, with, you know, a child of color or whatever. They're going to make sure you put that out there to put that stigma out there.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. Okay, on to the next topic now. Lately, show me a picture of actor, singer, slash whatever model. His name is Billy Porter, I believe. He was in Sesame Street.
Billy Porter?
You know, Billy Porter, thank you. You know, I don't. I pay these actors no mind. But he was on Sesame Street dressed up in a dress. I'm like, yes, we all know he's gay and everything. No problem. Once again, disclaimer, we are not attacking the gays or the lesbians or the community. Nothing like that. But we know there's been like a trend because I know it's on Brother B and Big Red Show last week. The topic was about transgender. Lady Dwayne Wade and his son slash daughter, that's been a heavy topic. But overall, and I noticed someone sent me this picture of a black boy saying, I want to wear locks to school and society. The boy, we hear stories all the time how the boys get their dreadlocks get cut off, but they're not allowed to practice on the team or anything like that. But when a black boy come out want to be a girl or want to wear a dress, or anything, oh yes, do you, hashtag social engineering, hashtag love is love, hashtag all this other stuff. Lady T, Big Red, K-Doll, Sean Black, and Phil. Once again, we are not attacking the gay, lesbian, transgender community, but do you see it as a problem when our young children, young, not 15, 17, 18, younger than that, especially in society eyes, are portraying black boys slash men wearing dresses? Why is that okay, but they're not allowed to have dreadlocks on their head? I'll go with Big Red first.
Because, of course, the dreadlocks is powerful. Of course, it's looking at it, oh, they're being too Afrocentric.
Or I'm sorry, Big Red. Powerful in what way?
Uh-huh.
Powerful in what way?
Like powerful,
you say
like that, like that's a symbol of to me, it would be a symbol of power. Like, okay, you're once again like, oh, maybe your parents are into this, you know, making you woke or you're gonna be knowing too much or whatever. It's like a power, like it's like something powerful to, you know, to society. It's like, oh, once again, you're being too Afrocentric, you're too black, you're too this, you're too that. So now with the being that, okay, you want to wear a dress or you want to do this or you want to be, you know, whatever it is that you want to be, oh, that's okay because you know what? We have to, we want you to be sensitive, but then again, it's like an emasculation of our black men, as we always talk about. It's like an emasculation. Why? Why do black men have to always be the forefront for that all the time? Once again, I don't care who does whatever, they can do whatever they want, but why does that always have to be all black males being the forefront for that, wearing dresses and, oh, it's okay to be this and it's okay. No, it's not, and especially when it's being pushed on, my problem is pushed on children. Once again,
ooh,
when you
don't
get a certain
me
age, yeah, when, once you get a certain age, you can be whatever you want to be. Now, but when you're pushing this on two-year-old, like I said, Sesame Street, There's young children watching this, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 year olds. Now, on the flip side of that, I can say, well, once again, look at the type of the society that we live in. You have some children that have both sexes as parents, two males, two females, or whatever. So they are looking at it as, okay, we have to try and keep something here because we have that type of audience now. Well, once again, you have a child that's 2 or 3 years old watching Sesame Street. Once again, they have both sexes as a parent. So, I mean, you know, the same sex as a parent. So, you know, it's like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? But once again, I don't like the fact that they're putting all young black men on the forefront of that. And like I said, they have enough against them already. But and now you're going to put this on top.
Lady T.
I just think there's a time and place for everything, and Sesame Street with the whole dress was not the place.
You know, it's like I remember when you go into certain kids' functions, you couldn't wear something low cut and so forth. It pretty much had to be kid friendly.
The good old days.
The good old days, right? I thought it was just me, but you know, coming on with the dress is like it's kind of like you just killed the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus, the whole thing behind it, because it's like, what's going on? Now I have to answer to my kid about what's going on with this. They may get it, not get it. It may confuse them even more. I just feel like all I keep seeing them advertising is the black man in the dress and so forth. I haven't seen a white man do this yet. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just seeing the black man. I don't know if it's a form of, okay, accept me, I'm gay. You better accept me, I'm gay. We don't care that you're gay. You can be anything you want to be. I just don't see the other side going as hard as proving that they're gay. They're comfortable with what it is, the end, like me or not. And I'm just getting drained and drained with seeing it because the backlash of it all is, okay, it's okay to do that, put a boy in a dress, a skirt, and so forth. But the minute that he wears dreadlocks or braids, it's a big problem. I'm thinking they've been doing that since before Christ. I don't know. 2500 before Christ in Egypt, if you read your history books. Like, now it's a trend or something, and it seems to be a problem. When I'm thinking white people used to wear dreads, mixed people, black people, it really didn't matter. But now, why is it being bothered? Because it's a symbol of freedom. It's a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of consciousness. It's a symbol as, this is me, and you can't do anything about it. So by cutting the dreads, what does that mean? They're trying to take away the freedom behind it?
Okay, Phil. What's your opinion about this overall?
Personally, I think people are stupid. I mean, what's the big deal? So the kid wants to have his dread. Leave him alone. But I have seen white guys with the dress and all that. And some of my customers that come in, you wouldn't believe what I've seen. So
we live in New York. We've seen a lot, Phil. Let's be honest. We've seen a lot also in New York.
Well, believe it or not, where I live in Roanoke, there is a very large gay population down here, from what I have found out. I mean, but from what I've seen white men wearing the nail polish with the lipstick, and then the way they do their hair. If that's the way they want to be.
So on TV though, how many white guys have you seen so far portray that image, especially on Sesame Street?
God, it's been years since I watched Sesame Street, so
tell you. Oh, please, stop lying. You know you was watching Sesame Street 2 weeks ago, please. But,
they would have advertised it already if a white guy did. They would have put him out there. So.
All right, so K-Dog, what's your intake?
Well, my intake on this is that, first up, where's the innocence of children, especially when you're watching Sesame Street? Sesame Street is a children's show. And I don't feel that it's right that, you know, you're showing up on Sesame Street being a male and you're wearing the dress. What is that? You know, what are you pushing on these children? And,
you know, if I remember, not to interrupt you, but back in my day, when you watched Sesame Street, you were learning something, how to do the letters, how to do the numbers.
Right. That's what you know, watched Sesame Street for.
Now it just seems the whole thing is, it's taking a whole turn. Then I read the movie industry. Now you want to hear, Marvel wants to come out with a gay superhero. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Then they talk about making Wonder Woman by. I'm like, what the hell am I reading?
Where's the innocence of children? And this is the problem that I have with it. Like Lady T said it, and Big Red said it, and I'll say it. It's like, you hardly see any you know, and pardon me for using race, but you don't see any white gay person using it. You have plenty of white gay celebrities out there, as well as black. But my thing is this. I don't have anything personal. I'm not homophobic. I have nothing against gays. But however, comes to the children who are ages 6, they're starting to, you know, they're learning about who they are. And therefore, putting a dress on a kid, on a little boy, you can't do that. That's not good.
I agree.
You know, it's not good at all.
Okay.
And as for the dreadlocks, let me just say this. It is a symbol, a very strong symbol. And I don't think that it's fair that you should cut off dreads for any reason. You know, that there's a lot of history that goes behind dreadlocks. And therefore, for them to cut it off, but yet you think it's okay for a little kid to wear dreads? No, it's really not.
Before we go to Sean's final point, I don't know why this scene always comes to my mind about, you know, black men always being portrayed as gay in the movies. Remember the movie, guys, Revenge of the Nerds, back in the 1980s?
Yeah.
Why is it most movies, especially back then, they always, when they do have that one black character, why does most of them portray as a gay character or the flamboyant one, like Revenge of the Nerds? There have been a lot of movies back in the 80s and early 90s where you have the one token black guy, and it always seemed that was flamboyant. When gay back then was like, you know, taboo or undercover. Have anyone noticed that, Sean Black?
Yeah.
Well, this goes back so many decades and decades ago where it seems like white America, especially in the entertainment industry, always wanted to emasculate African Americans, going back to Step and Fetch It, going all the way back then. And then we talk about all of the, especially comedians, black comedians like Flip Wilson, who had to dress up as Geraldine to get his laughter. Go forward with Martin Lawrence and his Shanae character to have to go into it, or Big Mama. The Wayans when they did White Girls. All you see throughout Hollywood in a lot of instances, whether it's television or in the movie industry or regular television, is that when you see the perceived over-aggressiveness of an African-American male or Hispanic male, they have to be portrayed in a way that is a little more so demeaning so that white people can either laugh at them to feel more comfortable. That's usually what has happened before. So this part of it is to the side. So this has nothing to do with gay children that are gay or that recognize that they are gay, because we know Sesame Street has evolved over the last few years with opening up how they teach or who they reach, because we now have, I guess, characters that are autistic. They have an autistic puppet that they have on the show that deals with kids with autism. And they had, I believe they had a blind puppet on there one time to deal with children that are blind. And they also had a character that on there, I believe it had diabetes at one point. So they were teaching.
No, it was HIV.
HIV, yeah. So as far as that goes, we're in a society now that has evolved where we're starting to see more and more that there are children at younger ages that are starting to either learn or identify within the LGBTQ community, and they are catering to that audience to make sure that they feel a certain way. But the prevalence of normalizing what you just started talking about with cutting off locks, even calling them dreadlocks to begin with, when they are locks, there's nothing to dread from wearing those locks. There's that uneasiness that white America has had over the long period of time where they look at this African American and say, oh, he looks imposing, he looks mean. This guy, we have to change that around to make him feel more comfortable. So how do we make him feel more comfortable? Let's emasculate this person. Put him in a dress and make fun of him, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how a lot of comedians ended up getting over because of that. And that's part of that's ingrained as part of the culture that has gone on, that has been proliferated for very, very, very long periods of time.
Well, the comedian's career has ended because of that.
Exactly.
That is true. Because a lot of them ended up being typecast in those same roles. Some people that had broader roles knew how to do other things, but as you just stated, Lady T, a lot of people's careers were ended because of that.
Yes,
okay,
was.
Let's switch it up a little bit. We have a few minutes left. Let's go to Dwayne Wade's son, Zyla or Shayla or son, daughter, Anna.
Zaya, I believe, is the name.
Zaya, his name.
Okay, guys, once again, we're not attacking the community or anything at all, but as you guys stated earlier, there's a time and place for everything. Do you think Dwayne Wade is using his power, I mean, and Gabriel Union using his celebrity power to overexpose in this transition that their daughter, quote-unquote daughter, is going through? Or are they pushing it upon other children as well? Like, what, basically, what's your instinct about this? Quickly, Sean Black.
I don't think it's pushing an agenda per se. I think he's just trying to make sure that his transitioning daughter feels more comfortable in the world being who this person it feels is now becoming. It feels like as a female is transitioning on, feels comfortable in this world. I don't think it's necessarily him pushing for the agenda per se. I don't feel that that's the case.
Lady T?
I feel like the timing is off for me. His documentary on this and other things is about to come out, whereas before him and Gabrielle always talks about, oh, we live a private life. So I don't know. I'm not going to judge anything as yet until I see what that main purpose of that documentary is all about. Because one thing that I can't stand is that a child is of a certain age. I feel like their privacy should have been kept. This is none of the media's business. This is you guys' business. And once you guys accepted it, who cares what anyone thinks?
Mm-hmm. Kato?
How could I say this?
It's okay, Kato.
I understand a father's love for his child, but there's certain things that need to be kept under wraps. You know, I'm not saying anything negative, but it's like it's really becoming like too much of it. It's too much out there.
And Phil?
My opinion is I kind of agree with everybody that something like this should be kept under wraps. I mean, what's going to happen when she goes into school? God knows what. Is she going to get ripped on? You know, that's one way to look at it. But, and then again, you know, they want to be parents and support their child. I could commend Dwayne Wade and his wife for that. And with that being said, I just got a flash on my phone. You're going to go into shock. The New York Knicks beat the Rockets tonight 125-123.
God damn, you
are
know
you serious?
A moment, Phil.
I am serious.
Phil,
man.
I am.
Phil. Stop it.
Wrong topic,
you know to
Phil.
Oh,
not
damn.
I'm not joking.
Oh, you know we sports fans. You know we're going to
talk
about
it. No, we're not talking
about
sports. I'm sorry. Killed it. Don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about
right.
sports. I'm sorry.
Okay,
go
we're
ahead,
not talking about
go.
Sports.
Go ahead, K-Dog. see, Phil, you just ruined the moment. Well, then that, ladies and gentlemen, I think kids just need to be kids and live their life. Because if we say this on the show all the time, they're going to have enough problems already. Which is school, bullying, you know, trying to keep up with lifestyle itself. If Dwayne Wade's daughter, you know, want to be a girl, want to be a girl, whatever, so be it. But at the same time, I think that type of lesson should be learned later in life. Let's say Dwayne Wade decided to do the operation on his daughter. What happened 5 years later when she is turned 17, 18 years old? You know what, Daddy? I want to be a boy. I like to be a boy, a male. What are you going to do then? You know, the kids do change their mind.
That's why this whole thing is such
time.
A complicated discussion to have.
Topic.
Yes.
You know,
is
like,
it really that complicated, or has privacy within your own home and what you do just went out the window now? It's like everything is to be told. Everything.
I think everybody, you know what it is? We're living in a society where everybody's got to know everybody's business, and that's just
exactly.
ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why. It's really sad.
No, you're right about that. Everybody's knowing each other's business. Don't forget, people got to go on social media and let it all hang out.
Well,
of course.
At the same time, social media is in your business because sometimes you see the pop-up ads of, I'm just saying, Chick-fil-A. You didn't go to Chick-fil-A. You happened to walk by it. How did Facebook know you was in Chick-fil-A or in other places? That's how Big Brother's watching.
The GPS, the GPS on your phone. If you allow it to know your location, that's what it'll say. Like if I go to Kroger in this one strip mall, it'll say, "Oh, how was your visit to Cape Spring Corners?" Because that's the strip mall it's located in.
I'm sorry, but Lady T, Big Red, Phil, Sean Black, K-Dog, thank you so much. And have a good night, everyone. Take care. Another great
you
show.
Too.
Good night,
take care,
everybody.
Good night,
y'all. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Special with all yours.
That's right. Oh, man.